And it is time for Winging It Wednesday. And, of course, as usual, we have Warren Cottle, Mike Stagg, and Carol Ross with us. Carol, back from the East Coast. You'll be able to give us a quick update on the storm.
Well, you know, when you've been through some Louisiana hurricanes, it just didn't seem like very much where we were. The flooding is the biggest problem in New Jersey, some parts of Delaware, et cetera. You saw all that. Vermont is really, really, they got a lot of rain. But I have to say, where I was, just outside of Philadelphia, and I have to hand it to the governors of those states and to Mayor Nutter of Philadelphia. I mean, they were on top of it.
I like the way some of the small towns up in Vermont said they're handling it real well. They're cut off from the rest of the world, so what are they doing? Barbecuing. I love it. I love it, man. Spoken like a true Cajun.
Yeah. They're tough people. A lot to get them down.
All right, let's get started with our questions. And first topic I thought about was Eric Cantor's comments about FEMA and disaster relief. It's, you know, like, we're broke, we're going to have to find money somewhere else and shift it around. Mike, would you like to get us started?
Well, I think the best testimony to the validity of this statement is the endorsement by Michael, heck of a job, Brown, former head of FEMA, who completely botched the New Orleans post-Katrina response. This is ludicrous. So we'll have to go to Congress to let them agree on what they'll cut before they will provide emergency relief to people in various communities. And we have already seen a clear demonstration of what they value. You know, they took the nation's credit rating down to A++ from AAA over this endless debate over whether they were going to raise the debt ceiling, what they were going to extract as a price. So what will they extract as a price in order to provide relief, disaster relief for people affected by storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes? It's ludicrous. I mean, we have a responsibility to respond to people in need, and when there shouldn't be any precondition on it. We should respond. And Cantor's had the unique effect of uniting Democrats and Republicans in condemning the ridiculousness of his proposal.
That's it, Mike. You're brief. I appreciate it. Warren, would you like to take it next?
You know, that I can understand a little bit about what Mike says. However, you know, that when you start wasting money, somebody somewhere along the line needs to tighten up on the valves. And I think that all you got to do is look at New Orleans and see just what a boondoggle that thing has become over there as far as it just pouring money into a pit. We need to know, you know, are they doing anything good with the money that's going there? That what we have in this country now, and it has been for the last 40, 50 years, if somebody says, you know, crisis, whatever, or declare disaster, throw money at it. And it's Mike's friends, the contractors and all that stuff, who make billions of dollars off of it, whom he despises, and they sit there and they're just licking their chops waiting to get their grubby hands in there. You know, the worst thing that I have seen, you go to New Orleans and they're raising those houses up, jacking them up. It's in the middle of a huge scandal. What kind of a waste it is. I said back when it first started, you know, how high are you going to raise them? Whoa, 6 feet, 8 feet, 14 feet, 30 feet. I said, you know, you tell me what the next flood's going to be or the biggest flood in the next 40 years is going to be, and I'll tell you how high you need to jack your houses up, you know. But, yeah, it is just amazing. And I said, you know, the problem of it is that there's probably one grant, one what you call them, prime contractor, whatever, that's got the deal. All the rest of them are subcontractors. They're all in there trying to steal as much as they can, and it's absolutely horrible.
Warren calling it like he sees it. Carol?
Well, you know, this is so typical of Democrats to try to politicize everything. Eric Cantor said, we will find the money if there is a need for additional money, but the monies are not unlimited. That's a direct quote. He also said they had already passed a measure, the House, had already passed a measure providing for an additional $1 billion in disaster funds, and he blamed the Senate, of course, which is in the control of the Democrats, for their inaction. Now, unfortunately, right now in this situation, unlike post-Katrina, this government is broke. They have spent us into a huge chasm, a Grand Canyon of debt, and they continue to borrow money and to spend money they don't have. Now, where was the outrage when Obama refused to declare Texas, which is in a dire strait of drought and wildfires, a disaster area? He would not do that. Nobody called him a Simon Legree for not declaring it a disaster area or some greedy, horrible person. No, they have to politicize everything and call Eric Cantor, who's trying to be a voice of reason here. He's not saying that they're going to take money away from Joplin or Alabama for their tornado relief. What he said was, new projects will not be started until we see what the cost is going to be for this. And actually, Craig Fugate, who's the head of FEMA, agreed with him. He actually said, our goal is to keep the disruption of the money going to the original people as short as possible, but it had to be prudent. He stressed that individual assistance programs will continue. So blaming all of this on Cantor is just more political posturing by the Democrats.
Carol Ross, Mike Stagg, and Warren Cottle. It's Wing It at Wednesday on KPL. We'll take a short break for news, be back, and have more from our panel. They talk about $30 billion that's allegedly been wasted in Iraq and Afghanistan. KPL News time is 7:49. Got a couple of quick ones to get in before the top of the hour. This is Wing It at Wednesday with Mike Stagg, Carol Ross, and Warren Cottle. And we're going to talk a little bit about $30 billion that's supposedly been wasted in Iraq and Afghanistan. Carol, you've got some thoughts on that, I'm sure.
Well, apropos of what Warren just said about waste, fraud, and abuse in post-Katrina, which ran into the billions and probably is still going on. I think I agree with him there. Imagine that. I'm shocked. There's waste, fraud, and abuse in a war zone where there's billions of dollars worth of personnel and material and equipment going in. You're going to have some waste, fraud, and abuse. And, of course, they were under pressure to produce results quickly. So in addition to that, it's tough to rebuild when terrorists keep blowing things up that you build. I mean, you build it, they blow it up. You go back and build it again. It's kind of tough. The other problem they're having is with the Iraq's infrastructure. I mean, it was far more decrepit than anyone knew. Saddam kept a lid on any kind of real reporting about what was really going on in Iraq, and that included on the WMD side. But the post-war looting in 2003 took a huge toll on what remained of the existing power grid, and that's the thing that the people over there are very upset about. They haven't been able to get the power grid working, and, of course, the insurgency erupted right afterwards. So it was not well planned for the aftermath. And, of course, again, with terrorists blowing things up as fast as you rebuild them, but they've got to get that power grid up and running. Billions wasted anywhere. You got government money going in and no real accountability.
Mike, would you like to pick it up there?
Lack of regulation, Carol?
Accountability.
I would like to point out that at the heart of this problem is the all-volunteer army. That when you went to an all-volunteer army, you cut the support services and required the hiring of private contractors to provide the support for the army. That used to be part of the military's responsibility. And when you injected private enterprise into the support, you brought with it the corruption. And I would say that clearly we have a problem in this country that I think goes to the fact that we should reinstate national service. Everybody should have to register for at the age of 17 should have to register and either to provide military service or community service in the country. It would create a greater sense of community. We would have a better sense of ourselves as a nation, and it could eliminate the need for the use of private contractors to provide support for what is essentially a national mission, whether it's in Iraq, Afghanistan, or anywhere else. And if the true costs are known, then I think there would be a greater awareness on the part of citizens and a greater buy-in and concern about not only where we're sending our military, but how we're spending our money.
All right, Warren.
I absolutely, positively, 150% agree with what Mike is saying about reinstituting the military draft. That is something that needs to be done before we ever commit one more American life overseas, and it needs to start with members of Congress as kids. and I'm serious, but both of y'all missed the point on this $30 billion. You're talking about waste, fraud, and abuse, and equipment, and building things. This $30 billion is cash, is what they're talking about. It was absolute American green currency that was sitting in warehouses on pallets, and that nobody was accountable for it, nobody was even watching it, and that they just had apparently people just walking through there and just picking up just bundles of it whenever they wanted to, and just nobody was even questioning it, that this guy was a brother-in-law, or that one was his cousin, or the first cousin of this one, and next thing you know, all at once that somebody turned around and said, what happened to all the money that was here? And they said, I don't know. and I think that is a whole lot of it. Is, you know, we're just going to throw money, just like we had the old Afghan president's brother on a CIA payroll to the tune of $1.5 million a year while he's growing poppies and engaged in drug trade. Yeah, they did. I don't know. It may have been our group that did it, but you know, this thing is just it goes kind of back to what Mike says too. Is you got all these contracts and stuff in there. These little, as Ron Paul says, endless wars are all about money, money, money.
We're gonna have to take a break, do some news, and we've got the Wall Street Journal report coming up. Mike, I got one question for you. Yes or no answer. Did you ever serve in the military?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to know. We'll talk about that later. All right, cool. Anyway, it's 7:54. No,
let's make it retroactive to anybody who hasn't served. Yeah, I like that.
7:54, we've got the Wall Street Journal report coming up. But next, we've got something you should know, brought to you by Paul's Jewelry, Silverstone at River Ranch and Oil Center Drive here in Lafayette. Cape Fell News Time is 8:08. It's sunny and 80 degrees now in Lafayette. It is Winging It Wednesday with Warren Cottle and Mike Stagg and Carol Ross. And continuing our conversations, we thought we'd get on to a subject that Carol has no feelings about whatsoever. Former Vice President Dick Cheney has got a memoir out called In My Time, a Personal and Political Memoir. It's out. As a matter of fact, it came out yesterday, and describing Condoleezza Rice as tearfully admitting he was right on the war in Iraq and other things. Give us your thoughts on Cheney, the book, and everything else, Carol.
Well, you know what? I like to be the contrarian in this. Everybody hates Dick, but I kind of like the guy, you know? And up until now, he hasn't said anything. He's been very reticent. He's always been very reticent, in my opinion, to really debunk all the things that people say about him that I think are erroneous. Anyway, he's a smart guy. He's been around a long time. He knows how to take the slings and arrows. He bided his time when it was appropriate timing afterward, and he probably felt that maybe his time was limited with all the heart problems he's had. He's decided he's going to get his story out, and boy, is he getting his story out. And by the way, everybody, you know, the more you see this Larry Wilkerson, I urge you to Google Larry Wilkerson. There has been no love lost between that bunch. He worked for Colin Powell, and that's been a battle royal. And he even admitted in one interview, on a YouTube interview that I saw, that he was always left to wipe up the blood after Colin Powell and Dick Cheney mixed it up behind the scenes in the White House. And also remember this. You're going to love this, Ken. That odious weasel, Patrick Fitzgerald. These guys, Lawrence Wilkerson and Colin Powell, knew because their buddy, Richard Armitage, who worked for Colin Powell, was the one who leaked about Valerie Plame. And it wasn't Scooter Libby. They all knew it, but they let Scooter Libby go down because why? He was the pipeline directly to Cheney. The whole thing was political. They wanted to get Cheney. And now him bringing up that he fears that Cheney fears being tried as a war criminal, what a joke. He knows better. Raising all those straw dogs.
All right, Mike.
So Cheney gets his say. Good for him.
Well, this fear of being tried as a war criminal is pretty real. President Bush canceled a trip to Europe because of that, and I don't see Dick Cheney leaving the country either. But this is Cheney brings the same candor to his novel that he did in the vice presidential vetting process that he did for George W. Bush back in 2000, when he identified himself as the best guy he could find in the country to be the Bush's vice president. You remember, he self-selected himself, then he served as president for the first 4 years of the term. And it was only when there was a rebellion in the Justice Department over the national security wiretaps that Cheney authorized, and there was threats of massive resignations in the Justice Department, that Bush actually overrode Cheney at that point and said, my administration is not going down that way. And so this is when John Ashcroft was in a near coma in the hospital. And they were trying to force the extension of the program. Cheney was trying to force the extension of the program, and he was going to essentially put a pen in Ashcroft's hand and drag the pen across the paper. But the guy who was designated as the acting attorney general would not let it happen. Mrs. Ashcroft wouldn't let him in the hospital room. This is the kind of thug this guy is. And he self-selected himself for vice president. He's now issued a Photoshop version of history. It's a novel. Read it. Treat it so.
Warren, what do you think?
Oh, well, that's you know, old Richard Cheney, that I want to read the book, but I'm not going to buy it. I want to wait till it's in the library where I can check it out.
It's in the dustbin.
You know, I said before that, you know, Cheney was the president when it came to foreign policy and those kind of things, that there's a lot of stuff that he did that I don't agree with. There's some things he did I do agree with. But, you know, that I do feel somewhat vindicated, because just yesterday, John Scarborough on Morning Joe, or Joe Scarborough, used one of my lines that I wrote about and talked about back in 2006 and on up. I said, if you like George Bush, you will love Barack Obama, because he is going to be Bush on steroids. And they were talking about Cheney's book and all that. They said, but Obama has said that he has just really carried on, especially with the war effort, said he is the Bush-Cheney administration on steroids, said he's tripled the number of people in Iraq, you know, and on and on and on. That I listened to a thing yesterday about the book. It says that when you read Bush's book and then Cheney's book, and you go to some of these instances and read what one of them says and read what the other one says, there's some pretty good conflicts where it says when they got ready to go into Iraq, Cheney's version is they were sitting in a room, Bush cleared the room of everybody after they were out. Then he looked at me and says, what do you think? Are we ready to go? And Bush's version is they were all in the room, and he looked at everybody in the room, went around the room, says, okay, what's the agreement in here? We ready to go, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I think that it, like all those books, it is somewhat fiction. And so, I guess, I don't know. But you know, Cheney will still go down as the most powerful vice president up to his time. He'll also go down as the first vice president since Aaron Burr to shoot somebody.
I was about to say that. Very good. Well, again.
Yeah, but unlike Burr, it was not too drastic result. Not nice.
And it wasn't
not
intentional.
But the fact of the matter is, on that Patriot Act and all that wiretapping, et cetera, they did go to the FISA court. They did get approval from the Supreme Court. They had the Justice
Later.
Department and the Supreme Court.
Later.
It was approved. And so, you know, you want to rewrite history? Cheney has his chance to rewrite history. Everybody writes from their own perspective. Got to give him that.
Making it up as he goes along.
I still think the Patriot Act is going to go down as one of the worst pieces of legislation ever passed in this country.
Yep.
Well, again, Obama is still continuing that,
is
he not?
That's what I said. If you like Bush, you'll
love Obama.
And
he opened up a third front in Libya, you know. Where's that Peace Prize now? How's that working for you, buddy? How you like that hopey-changey Nobel-y stuff?
All right. It's been Warren Cottle, Mike Stagg, Carol Ross, winging it Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. And as a special treat, tomorrow, Warren will be guest hosting.
Ooh, we have to listen.
Will he be wearing a sleep cap? That's what I want.
I'm not sure. It's a possibility. 8:15, we've got news coming up next at KPEL. 8:16 at KPEL. It's 80 degrees now in Lafayette. Good morning. I'm Ken Romero. A local man has been caught storing child pornography on his computer. Lafayette police say Gerard LeDay of Lafayette was arrested yesterday afternoon at a home on Webb Street. The case remains under investigation. Police are looking for a woman accused of stealing tens of thousands of dollars from a local business. Captain Kip Judice with the Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Office says 31-year-old Sherry Doucette Menard allegedly stole over $50,000 during the last 8 months. She's described as a white female, about 5'4", approximately 200 pounds. If you know her whereabouts, you're asked to call Crime Stoppers at 232-TIPS. A U.S. House plan to cut other areas of the budget to offset FEMA dollars needed for the recovery from Hurricane Irene has Louisiana's congressional delegates upset. Republican Congressman Steve Scalise says, we can't forego fiscal responsibility even in the face of a natural disaster. Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu says the needs of people come before partisan squabbling. Landrieu says if a similar policy had been in place after Katrina, Louisiana would still be neck deep in the recovery process. Time now for top national stories from Fox News.